I want to give God glory this morning, and it's an honor and a privilege to be able to share God's word in today's day. And I would ask you, if it's possible, to bow your heads with me one moment as we pray and ask the Lord for his guiding anointing in everything that we're going to speak. Father, in Jesus' name, we give you praise and thanks this morning. You have given us life, you have given us health, you have allowed us to be here, Lord, to worship you, to glorify you, to honor you. Lord, and those who are watching this morning also by Facebook Live, Lord, bless them as well, Lord. As they tune in, Lord, we ask that your word be on point, Lord, that would meet the needs of each and every one of us, that would find a fertile ground, Lord, in our spirit, so that there will be fruit-bearing in the name of Jesus, Lord. That this word, Lord, would not be just something that we hear, but something that we would practice, empowered by your Holy Spirit, for the glory of your name. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So this morning, amen, we're going to be speaking on the subject, in it, but not of it. In it, but not of it. Could you tell your neighbor, I'm in it, but I'm not of it? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Our pastor began last week a sermon series on having a biblical worldview. I believe it's important for the church to be reminded of our foundational faith, what we believe, why we believe it, and how what we believe needs to be expressed in our actions and our conduct. Faith that is not expressed through action is actually dead faith. Faith can only come alive when we allow that faith to be expressed in how we live. And so, if faith is nothing but an intellectual conviction or a set of rules or a set of guidelines on a piece of paper, then it will not affect the world around us because it's reserved to our minds and the way we think. Once faith comes alive and is expressed by how we live, then others take notice of what we believe and why we believe, and it can impact them so that they can also see the benefits of having God's standards impact in every way that you and I live. We need to remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, in a verse that many of us know, but there are some principles in that verse that we have to take notice of. That verse says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And so that verse is normally remembered by many in the context of you seek God's kingdom and everything that you have need of on a physical level, what you need for eating or what you need for living will be added unto you. But there's a clause there that sometimes is missed. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, which means the kingdom has a righteousness that is exclusive to it. The kingdom of God has its own set of values, has its own set of standards. And the righteousness of this kingdom will stand in opposition to the righteousness of the world. So we have to come to that reality that if we're going to seek the kingdom of God and we're going to be citizens of that kingdom, there are some standards in that kingdom that we are expected to maintain. Somebody with me this morning? And so one of the crises that we're having in the present day is that there are many amongst our society that have been used to having benefits without commitment. Can I say that again? Many are used to having benefits without commitment. Now, I understand that the current of the world would flow that way, and I'm not trying to speak in a condemnatory way. But the thing about it is that in the kingdom, your benefits are directly tied into your commitment level. Oh, Lord, help me on that one. For example, Jesus told his disciples that they should forgive those who trespass against them. Because if they would not forgive those who offend them, then their Father who is in heaven would not forgive them. And so prayers can have a stumbling block, can have a barrier in the way to be answered if we do not release others of their offenses against us the same way God releases us of our offenses against him. In other words, treat your neighbor like I treat you, or you will not have your next prayer list answered. And that sounds harsh, but see, Jesus was the one who said it. Because there are some standards in the kingdom. Please repeat after me. There is a standard in the kingdom. And that standard of the kingdom is a righteousness. We cannot do that by ourselves. The Holy Spirit was placed in our spirits, in our bodies, in our lives, to empower us by grace that we would act out upon works that God prepared for us beforehand. So it's not by might and not by power, but by the Spirit. We can't do this by ourselves. We don't have enough character. We don't have enough value. We do not have enough strength in ourselves to meet the standards of the kingdom. But the Spirit of God in us can change our minds, our hearts, and our character so we can align with God's purpose and will and express his standards for this world and this living. Somebody say amen. But since the standards of the kingdom stands in opposition to the standards of the world, that will inevitably lead to friction with the present age. Are we here? The standards of the kingdom stand in opposition to the standards of the kingdom of darkness. And so we do not seek to have enemies. We do not seek to have friction. We do not seek to have contention with anyone. We're supposed to be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. We're supposed to operate in love, in open arms, receiving and pouring out love and mercy and compassion as Jesus did while he was on earth. But at the same time, Jesus had his Father's standard in his mind and in his heart. And so when it was time to pour out compassion and mercy, he did it. And when it was time to express the standard of the Father, he did it as well without trembling. He was not ashamed of his Father's standard. And sometimes I become worried if we, the church, are ashamed of the Father's standard. Somebody help me preach. Because sometimes on social media, if we're totally honest, on social media and radio media and TV media, sometimes certain sermons and certain atmospheres, I don't know if we are for his standard or against his standard. And when I say we, I'm talking generally, not necessarily Catalyst, but in the general context of what the church is supposed to be. Because it's not an issue of being better than anyone, but we were called to be different. And that difference is what's going to make a difference in the life of this world. Amen? And so Jesus warned his disciples. City, heart is aligned with the world. You're friends with the world because you have a form of godliness, but you deny the power thereof. So you submit to the world's standard and then conveniently want to worship. You create a standard for yourself that's convenient to you so you can have a foot in the world and a foot in God at the same time. But Jesus told that audience, the world cannot hate you because you're of it. It hates me because I testify that its works are evil. Are we as a church willing in love to testify that the works of the world are evil? Now, the Lord has given me pow-pow first of all, so don't. But when we read these verses, it's an impact. Are we willing to walk in the footsteps of our Savior? He testified that the works of the world are evil. If we follow in his footsteps, it's not about pointing the finger to the world and saying you're evil and you're corrupt and being hateful in speech. But the problem is that if we do not testify the standards of the kingdom of God, how will they ever know? How will people ever know they're lost? How did you know you were lost when you came to Jesus? How did you know you were on the opposite side? How did you know you were walking towards condemnation? Had enough love to tell you you were headed on the wrong path. Because someone loved you enough to let you know that there is only one name under heaven by which we can be saved. Because someone loved you enough to tell you that there is only one way to the Father. It is through Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Because someone loved you enough to tell you that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life eternal in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so the values of the kingdom, when taught and practiced, repeat after me, taught and practiced. Which means it's not just an intellectual concept. We live it out by God's grace and empowering spirit. When taught and practiced by its citizens, will be a direct message against the values of this world. And in fact, we don't even have to point anything out. Once we teach the principles of the kingdom, it becomes self-evident. When we teach on the family model as God created it, we don't have to add one more letter. It will become apparent that other models are not conformed to God's standard. Come on, somebody. When we teach sexuality as God in his word presents it, we don't have to say anything else. It becomes apparent what's right and what's wrong. So we don't need to add any additional interpretation to some things. Just speak the standard, and it becomes apparent if we're outside of that standard. Amen? It will cause the world to view us through a lens of hatred, and we have to be prepared for that, beloved. As I said before, we do not seek contention. We do not seek to be hateful. We do not seek to have enemies. We do not seek to try to have a holier-than-thou attitude. We have been saved by grace, pardoned by the blood of the living God. Amen. We have been washed in that blood and redeemed by the Lord and transformed by his Spirit. Nothing of us. It's all him. But once that has happened in us, there's a transformation which will cause others to persecute because we persecute what we do not understand. The standard of life that the kingdom of God has will testify of the evil which permeates this world. And so look what Jesus said, told his disciples in John chapter 15, verse 18 through 19. Hallelujah. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Wow. Jesus did not sugarcoat anything. He left it all out for his disciples, and we thank God that John recorded it for us. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Please notice, Jesus never told the church to hate the world. We're not supposed to hate anyone. We're supposed to walk in love. As our pastor always cites, speak the truth in love. Have the love be the foundation and basis by which we speak and act. Love. But see, sometimes people forget, love is not just about hugs and kisses. What does it benefit me for you to love me in hugs and kisses and then stab me in the back? Now see, I know I'm being kind of pointed this morning. But the fact of the matter is, love is more than affection. Affection is wonderful. We should hug, we should kiss, and I understand that, you know, we're in the pandemic, but at least you're family members. But love is just not about affection. If you find an area where I'm being wrong, or you find an area where I can improve, or something that I'm doing or saying that is being hurtful or damaging to another person, if you love me, you should tell me. If you love me, you should correct me. If you love me, you should straighten me out. Somebody say amen. That is not offense. It's called love. If you're about to jump off a cliff, is it loving for me to just say, oh, God have mercy upon them. They're about to jump off the cliff. Let's pray for them. No, I should run and grab you by the hand and tie you down and say, if you take another step, you're about to lose your life. Hallelujah. Keep in mind that I was hated by the world before you. If you were of the world, you would be loved by the world. But because you are not of the world, I have not taken you out of the world, but you are hated by the world. Jesus told his disciples, you are not of it. You're in it, but you are not of it. So you have to make a difference. Tell somebody, you have to make a difference. Beloved, we must make a difference. We must make a difference. Because we cannot speak the standards of the kingdom while we're living like the world. And I'm not talking about socks and shoes or legalistic issues. But in our mindset, what Pastor was talking about last week, the biblical worldview, if our worldview aligns to the standards of a system that is opposite God's standards, how can we ever make a difference? If I'm going to applaud, and see, I have to say it. God help me. God help me. What you tolerate, you will accept. What you accept, you will respect. What you respect, you will celebrate. And what you celebrate, you will promote. Conclusion, you can't tolerate everything. It's loving to be patient. It's loving to be tolerant. It's also loving to say, this line cannot be crossed. Somebody give the Lord a hand of praise. Parents in here, you know exactly about what I just said, more than I do. You've had to establish a line in your family in given moments. As much as you may love your children, and you said, this line cannot be crossed. That's not hate. It's called love. It's called teaching discipline. That everything cannot be like I want, when I want it, with who I want it with, where I want it. And if there's something that the United States needs to remember, is everything cannot be our way. This is not Burger King. It can't be all my way in school. It can't be all my way in the home. It cannot be all my way at the job. It cannot be all my way in church. I've got to submit to a standard. Somebody say amen. It's called order. It's called blessing. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. We should teach and live these values based on the principle of love, as I said before. Love for God and love for others. We must not do it with a spirit of superiority, with a Pharisee character. That will send the wrong message. At the same time, we must do it with authority and conviction. Because we should not be ashamed of what God has done in us and the standard of life he has called us to. Tell somebody, I'm not ashamed. Hallelujah. I am not ashamed of what the Lord has done in my life. He transformed my way of thinking. He transformed my way of feeling. He transformed my way of living. I'm not ashamed that he washed me in the blood. I'm not ashamed that he filled me with his presence. I'm not ashamed that he changed my direction. I'm not ashamed that he broke the power of sin over my life. I may make mistakes, but I'm not a slave. Somebody say amen. There's a song in Spanish that says, las cosas que yo hacía ya no las hago más. Hubo un cambio cuando a Cristo conocí. Let me translate for you, that for you in the Hebrew and the Greek. The things I used to do, I do them no more. There was a change when I met Christ. Can somebody testify to that this morning? There was a change when I met Christ. I was on my way to condemnation, and he met me in the way and transformed me. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah. I have to be bold about it. People are bold about sports. They're bold about politics. They're bold about many things. I'm going to be bold about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Calm yourself down, Brother Joel. Beloved, this is impossible if we have not been transformed and renewed. As Jesus told Nicodemus, we must be born again. Being born again goes beyond reciting the sinner's prayer. Being born again is more than a membership in a church. Being born again is an experience. A transforming experience by which we can say, like Paul, I live no longer, but it is Jesus who lives in me. That is God's work. We cannot be born again by ourselves. It's not a human work. It's the transforming power of the Spirit of God, applying the blood of Jesus to your life and mine, washing us in that blood, forgiving us of our sins, and transforming the way that we live. But there is something that we have to do. Tell somebody next to you, there's something you got to do. Yes, yes, yes. Sometimes the church becomes a little bit entitled, right? In the sense that we want God to do everything for us. But God wants to do something with you more than he wants to do something for you. He wants to do something with you. He wants you to be part of the process. You put forth your best effort, and he anoints it. You do what you can, he does what you can't. Amen? And so, the Apostle Paul touched on something important, which is part of our responsibility as believers. Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 2. Pastor mentioned this last week. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, after that has been done, not by the Spirit, but by you, you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. How many want God's perfect will to be established and fulfilled in your life? That's wonderful. That means we got to change our minds. We got to go and undergo a psychological washing, brainwashing. Paul said, be not conformed to this world. Yeah. I have a funny experience. It's a personal one, but I want to share it. One time, I needed some shoes. So I went over to pay the shoe source. Come on, somebody. Sometimes you're blessed and sometimes you're stressed. When you're blessed, you can buy a Tom McCain or Florsheim or something like that. When you're stressed, you got to go over to pay the shoe source. So I went over to Payless Shoe Source, and I was looking for my size, and I couldn't find it. And so I was in a bind, so I said, well, I'm going to take the next best thing, a size smaller. And when I put my feet in those shoes, I started walking like those wind-up toys. I felt very uncomfortable. After 2 weeks, they felt wonderful. They felt fine. I had no issues because my foot refused to conform to the shoe. My foot forced the shoe to conform to it. So we should not conform to the world. The world, come on somebody, should conform to us. It takes a stand. It takes conviction. Not of a place of superiority, but a place of love and conforming to God's standard. Notice that Paul does not say that God will do this. He commands the Roman church to take initiative in their transformation process. They should not conform or adapt to the world or to the age or to the standards of a system that is anti-God, but to undergo a metamorphosis. The word he uses is metamorpho, which speaks of the process by which a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. It's born a caterpillar, and it spends the first stages of its life, you know, on the dirt, moving around, eating dirt. But it knows in its genetic makeup, its destiny is not to keep on eating dirt, but to fly. See, there's something inside of us as human beings that God placed. It's a witness in our conscience that we were created for great and powerful things, to be earthly representatives of a heavenly kingdom. And whenever we are outside of that standard, the Lord uses our own conscience to witness to us, you're better than this. You got to go higher. You can't stay where you are. Process. Am I doing something wrong? Okay. In the transformation process, that caterpillar has got to go up the tree. Oh, hallelujah. And the reason why many people have not been transformed, even though sometimes they visit the church, is because they haven't gone to the tree. What tree are you talking about, Brother Joel? He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes, we've got to go to the cross. Tell somebody, you got to go to the cross. You got to go to the cross. If we want to be transformed, we got to go to the cross. If we want to be the king of God, we got to go to the cross. If we want to live out the standards that God has for his people, we got to go to the cross. And Paul said, be it far from me to glory, but in the cross of our Lord Jesus, by which the world is crucified to me and I am crucified to you. Tell somebody, there's no compromise. What is beyond, go forward to the prize of the high calling. I forget the things of this world to embrace the Lord Jesus and his standards. No compromise, church. We cannot compromise. We cannot compromise. There's no negotiation at the table with the devil. Somebody say amen in here. You don't negotiate with the enemy. You don't negotiate with Satan. There is no compromise. It's God's way or no way. Hallelujah. So we got to go to the cross. There we will have a renewed mindset. That's where we will become aware of God's will and purpose for our lives. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. Hallelujah. As we seek that scripture, have you noticed everything that commercials are now promoting? It's unbelievable. And the thing about it is that we have been undergoing, especially in this country, for the past couple of decades, something called subliminal advertising. Things that we sometimes are not consciously aware of. How many of us have been watching a commercial from Pizza Hut? You just had lunch. All of a sudden, the commercial comes on, and you see that stuffed crust full of pepperoni and Italian sausage, steaming, and it comes out and you see the cheese, and all of a sudden you pick up the phone or you go online and make an order.
And you just fell into the sin of gluttony. The commercial influenced your mind, activated your hunger neurons, and though you just had lunch, you became hungry again. And Pizza Hut is happy because you just spent your money on them. Now, it sounds funny, right? But see, the powers that be have understood the power of influence. And so small messages that sometimes we're not conscious of are being promoted in order to reset our thinking and take us to a place where we accept things as normal, which we before did not consider to be. Now, I know this may sound harsh, but the fact of the matter is, when Paul says, be not conformed to this world, I refuse to have somebody come and want to change the way that I see things if I know that the way that I see things is through the Word of God. It's not out of hatred to anybody, but the fact of the matter is, the great hypocrisy of what's going on in this country is that the tolerant are sometimes intolerant. And so if it's not your way of viewing things, you can't respect my way. Is that justice? Is that tolerance? And that's why we have to get ready. Tell your neighbor, get ready. We will be persecuted. We will be persecuted. Once the world sees that we are refusing to change and alter his standards. And we must be ready because there will be an apostasy. There will be a falling away. There are many of the faith that are going to stray away from the faith, and they're going to say, okay. Well, God have mercy on them. I refuse to say, okay. I will love. I will hug. I will kiss. I will sit at the table. I will have dialogue. I will receive with open arms. I refuse to change his standard because this book has given us life and life more abundantly. This is principles of life that have changed families. It has changed people for thousands of years. It has worked, and it can still work for America if America allows it to work for them. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. They had just been taken out of Jerusalem and placed in the Babylon Empire. And Nebuchadnezzar and his royal court saw them and say, you know what? Let's not get rid of them. They have something special. They have a different spirit. Church, it is when we have a different spirit that the world would take notice of what's in us. And so Daniel decided, I am not going to defile myself, because the king's food was food that was considered unclean according to the Jewish law. Aren't you glad we're under grace? We can have all the beef and pork and everything that. But Daniel understood there's a standard. I have a standard, and it doesn't matter that I'm in Babylon. It doesn't matter the opportunities that are being presented to me. Come on, somebody. It does not matter the job promotion that is just being offered to me. It doesn't matter that my talents are wanting to be used for the health and well-being of the general public. I have a standard. And so if you want me, you have to want me and my standards. He says, I am not going to taste of your wine or your food. Let me do it my way. And I'm going to show you how my way is better. And so all they ate was vegetables and water for 10 days. After the 10 days, when they saw the difference, they said, their way is a better way. Come on. So what do we accomplish by compromising our standards, church? Nothing. What do we accomplish when we keep them out of love of God? People will understand that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And so Daniel says, no, I'm not going to defile myself. So Daniel was able to minister to the culture and relate to the culture without becoming part of it in the sense of being it. He was in it, but not of it. He was in Babylon, but he was still a child of the Most High God. This example shows us that it is possible for us to minister to the culture without conforming to their standards. We can be relative without losing our identity in God. We must not lose our identity, because that is what causes our standards to change. We are children of God by grace. We are children of God by faith. We have been called to come out of her. Amen. And so when you have that consciousness and identity, because God has done a work in you, remember what Jesus said, and I'm closing, John chapter 17, verse 14 through 16. Hallelujah. We must keep our identity, but having also relativity. God can bring us to a place of balance, Holy Spirit balance, where we can be relative without losing who we are. That's what Jesus did. That's why Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, have this same mind that was in Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, something to grasp and maintain hold of. But he took upon himself the form of a servant, made himself obedient to the cross, being made in the fashion of men, which means that Jesus never ceased being the Son of God. His divine nature was still there. It was hidden, but it was still there. He just laid aside his privileges, his prerogatives, and became the Son of Man so that he could relate to us and touch us where we were. And that's how we as his church have got to be. We have to maintain our identity as children of God, but touching people where they're at. Amen? John chapter 17, verse 14 through 16, and I close. It's 12:22, and you know what? I think that Pizza Hut commercial sounds right good right about now. God have mercy. John chapter 17, verse 14 through 16. I have given them your word. Church, we got to go back to the word. Too much entertainment in the church today. We got to go back to the word. Entertainment has not worked. It's not about being entertained. It's about enter to be trained. Somebody say, enter and be trained. Not entertained, enter and be trained. Go and make disciples. Hallelujah. I have given your word to them. The world has hated them. This is Jesus in his intercessory prayer, his high priestly prayer. I have given them your word and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Yeah. So, beloved, in closing, just remember, we're in it, but not of it. Yeah. We're not better, we're different. Yeah. His grace has done a transforming work in our lives. And he has asked us to represent him. He has asked us to go into the world and preach the gospel to all nations. He has asked us to represent him and speak on his behalf, and show the world be reconciled to God. Come back to the Creator. Come back to the place of love in God. Come back to the place of righteousness in God. Come back. That's God's message to the world. I love you so much. I want you so much to come back to me that I sent my Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him, not in Buddha, not in Confucius, not in New Age, not in Allah. I will not compromise the message of one way to God. The whosoever shall believe in Jesus shall not perish but have everlasting life. Somebody give God praise in here. We are in it, but we're not of it. Let us stand to our feet. Amen. My beloved brothers and sisters, we cannot sell out.
No, sir.
We cannot sell out for better salaries. We cannot sell out for benefits. We cannot sell out for anything. Right. If others are not ashamed, we should not be ashamed either. Amen. It's not an issue of competition. It's an issue of identity. We are His children by grace. We are to recruit others to come to the wonderful Savior. We do not live out His standards legalistically, trying to obtain some sort of favor from God. If I do something, it's because I love Him. Everything you do, do it because you love Him. Come to church because you love Him. Pray because you love Him. Help somebody out because you love Him. Submit to His standards because you love Him. It's more than just an obligation or responsibility. It's above that. It's because we love Him. And when we do everything by love, the rewards will be great in this life and the one to come. Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, as time passes by, it's getting tougher and tougher to preach the gospel. And it's getting tougher and tougher, Lord, to live it. Without You, we cannot do anything. You said, You are the vine and we're the branches. Separated from You, we cannot accomplish anything. So we ask that You help us by Your Holy Spirit, Lord. Give us what we do not have. Fill us where we're lacking. Correct us, O Lord. Give us Your heart, Your mind. Help us to express, Lord, as Jesus expressed the Father, help the church to express You. Lord, give us that boldness, as in the book of Acts, that we would not be ashamed of Your standards of Your gospel, but share it in love with a hurting and lost world. Father, let us stand bold before the accusations of this world. You called us to be in it, but not of it. They may hate us as they hated You, but in the cross, You set the example. When You said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So we ask You, Lord, to have mercy upon this nation and help us as a church to continue to proclaim the goodness of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. God bless you.
Well, you have just heard a keynote message. You know, when you go to a conference, they have speakers, and then they have what's called a keynote message. That's like the main theme. You heard it last week. Hear it again today. How to be a healthy church. How to be a church that is relevant for God in this difficult world that we live. How we need to be full of love, first and foremost, and also full of truth. And understand that we are not of this world. Jesus said, My kingdom is not of this world. If it was, I would send some soldiers right now and angels, and they would deliver me. Because I'm not trying to be an earthly king right now. I came to change the hearts of people, to do things God's way. And God's way is not by our striving to be religious. It's by accepting what Jesus did on our behalf. It's not what you can do for Jesus that makes you righteous. It's what He's done for you that makes you righteous. And when you say, I haven't done anything, Lord, to deserve this, but I accept Your precious blood. I accept Your sacrifice. I humbly ask You to forgive me. Bow your heads with me for a moment. Father, one more time, we pray. If there's anybody watching on Facebook right now, or anybody in this house that needs to say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. I need You to forgive me. I need You to come into my life. I recognize today, after hearing the Word of God, there are not many ways to God. There is only one way, and it's You, Lord Jesus. That's become clear to me today. By the Holy Spirit, I recognize, Lord, You are the missing piece in my life. Jesus, I confess I'm a sinner. I need you to cleanse my heart. I confess you are the Son of God. Come into my life. You are the way, the truth, and the life. I want to be restored to my Father relationship with God, my Father and Son relationship with God. Forgive me. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And open my understanding, Lord. Open my eyes. Cleanse my heart from all sin, Lord. If you've prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you today to just stay back with me here at the church, or if you're watching at home, call this number, 407-438-6100. Wherever you are in the world, call this number in Orlando, Florida, 407-438-6100. We'd be glad to pray with you. If you need a Bible, we'll send you one. But please take a step toward Jesus, because he has poured out his heart to you through that message today. How many of you believe God poured out his heart to people today? At the cross, where I first saw the light. Come on, sing it. And the birth.
Help me, Brother Joe. My voice is not going to help me out.
The way. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all day.
Someone needs to climb up the, like that caterpillar had to climb up the tree.
At the cross,
sing it today.
At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for the cross, Lord Jesus. Those of you who are believers, I want you to just say a few thank yous to Jesus from your own heart. You realize, once again, what a price God paid. I don't know, is it just me? Is it just impacting me? Are you being impacted today by this message? I just feel like I want to kneel down by the cross of Jesus and say, Lord, nothing that's ever happened to me before matters. What matters now, Lord, is that I follow you, that I have you in my life. You chose me. You loved me before I even knew you. And you're willing to give me a brand new start. You, those of you who are at home, God can give you a brand new start, a brand new life. One more time, Brother Joe. Come on, everyone.
At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Father, we thank you for this keynote message, another confirming word. We are not to love the world. We are to love you first and above everything else. We are in the world, but not of the world. We are to love people. We are to love people, but not the world system. We are to love people, but not the sin of the world. Somebody say amen. Help us to love people even more without compromising, Lord. In Jesus' name. Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with you now and forevermore. And all God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm going to ask you if you would just please stay where you are. We're going to need to take about 30 minutes to go through this. So if you can possibly, please stay with us, Andre.